Hello, everybody, with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and a very special guest that we'll be introducing in just a few moments. I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now, and the phone number, 1-800-677-9377, lines available right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. Welcome again to Basic Gospel, everybody. We want to hear from you, so call now, 800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do have a very special guest with us today. It's Jeremy White. He is the lead pastor at Valley Church in Vacaville, California. He is also the author of The Gospel Uncut. I've been hearing about Jeremy for a number of years, and we've had an opportunity to reach out and connect by phone and by Facebook, and I'm just so encouraged by him and what the Lord is doing in his life and what the Lord's doing there at Valley Church in Vacaville. I wanted him to come on and be a part of this month's celebration of the church that we're doing here at Basic Gospel. One of the things that we'll be doing this month as well is bringing on other pastors. Mm-hmm. Jeremy is the first. So, Jeremy, welcome to Basic Gospel. Yeah. We're awfully excited to have you with us today.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. It's great to be with you, and I want to say hello to your listening audience, and especially a shout-out here to the Northern California gang at KDIA and KFIA. It's good to be with you guys.
Well, it's great. It's great to have you. And Jeremy, as I mentioned, I've heard so much about you through the years and what God is doing there at Valley Church. I know you're friends with Andrew Farley, who's a part of our broadcast every Wednesday, and you run in circles that I run in sometimes. And so I'm so glad that we can actually connect here on the air today. Tell us a little bit about your story. How did you come to know Christ, and when did the grace of God become more than just a word to you?
Well, yeah, gosh, it's we all have a unique story, and mine starts when I was 2 years old. My parents became saved out of a long line of paganism in their background. I was 2 years old in the mid 70s, and they were saved through the Jesus movement, and we grew up with a spiritual foundation for, which I'm very grateful. Grateful to have a mom who prayed for me through some pretty rough years in my adolescence, and a dad who also taught me the truths of Scripture to the best of his ability. And we grew up in a family that did love Jesus, both publicly and privately, and yet in the same token, had a lot of dysfunction in our family. My parents brought a lot of things from their former life, into their faith, and we're all a work in progress, of course. I was, blessed to be raised with a Christ-centered foundation, and yet quite a few things, as can happen in so many religious circles, got kind of skewed. My parents ended up divorcing when I was a teenager, and we had a lot of pain and dysfunction in my family for many years. And as I grew up into my late teens and early adulthood, I really wrestled with a lot of bitterness and anger toward God and toward the idea of God. And I had accepted Christ when I was 8, but through my junior high and high school years, really drifted from him. And then had an experience on a mission trip where the Lord really revealed himself to me more clearly. And I thought, we were going to be best buds from that point on. I felt like, wow, me and God are good and life is going to get better. And for me, that wasn't the case. I had within 6 months after, just that encounter with the Lord, I had a number of tragic things happen in my life, one of which was my parents' divorce. And so I just became disillusioned and thought, wow, what's wrong here? My relationship with the Lord is supposed to be what is going to sustain me and make life better, or so I thought. And I just really had a kind of a disillusioning time. But the Lord, through those years of dealing with that anger and that bitterness, began to reveal his grace to me little by little. And I'm just so thankful that the paths of legalism and the paths of bitterness and the paths of religion that I tried to go down to figure out how to heal and how to, how to recover from some of this tragic stuff, fortunately, those dead-end streets led me to a deeper understanding of the fact that Jesus meets you on those dead-end streets. And
yes, he does.
And so, yeah, so it's been a work in progress for me.
Well, Jeremy, was there anything, you're going down those streets of legalism, that path, and you're realizing you're coming to a dead end? I think as you walk down those paths, life starts to chip away at you and humility can set in. But for you, was there one thing about the gospel message that really took on new meaning for you, that just really clicked, that you gained a deeper understanding, something, where you came to the point where you really knew that you knew that you knew that Christ had taken away your sins, or that you were in Christ, or
yeah.
What was it that really, turned on that light bulb for you?
Well, I think for me, and I write some about this in the book, The Gospel Uncut, and just sharing my story. For me, I had been introduced to a camp of teachers that were really promoting a doctrine that we sometimes call Lordship Salvation, and it was a doctrine that basically says that, if you're a true Christian, your life better look like XYZ, or else you have no real reason to believe that you were ever truly saved. And what that did in my life is, when my parents were going through their problems and my family life was falling apart, I felt like I needed a target to pin my anger on. And unfortunately, that became my mom for a while. And I really began to realize that, after a number of really years of anger and bitterness toward both my parents, but primarily my mom, based on the way I saw it at the time, I realized that, we're all on a level playing field before the Lord, and the so-called sins and weaknesses that I was so ready to nail my mom on were really, it was pretty hypocritical for me to be pointing fingers and casting stones when I had plenty of hypocrisy going on in my own life. And I think that that's what legalism does, is it puts us on this treadmill or this path of comparing ourselves to other people and trying to get us to feel better about ourselves if we can somehow view ourselves as not quite as bad as the other guy. And what really broke through to me was the fact that, the cross puts us all on a level playing field. And by the grace of God, he began to reveal to me that I needed Jesus just as much as my mom or my dad or, anybody else. And,
that sounds so funny, that I needed Jesus as much as, anyone else. But, we do go through life thinking we're okay. We just make some mistakes here and there. And, if I could just clean up those things, I would just be the greatest person in the world.
Yeah, not like those other people.
But talk about the height of pride. And I laugh about that, Jeremy, because I felt the same way.
Oh, yeah.
When I graduated from college and I had my kind of life transformation, I just knew all the answers. I mean, I knew the problem with the church. I knew, the church that I grew up in, what we needed to be doing. And boy, I just railed away, as far as the leadership was concerned. And finally it dawned on me, it's like, well, if this is what you think the church needs to be doing, why aren't you out doing it? Why are you trying to get others to do what God's probably leading you to do? And I think that's a common story for all of us. We think we're okay. And if we think we're okay, grace really doesn't mean anything, does it?
That's exactly right.
So you came to that point and you realized that you needed forgiveness of sins just like everybody else did. Well, what did that do inside of you, and how did it change your life, your relationship with the Lord, your relationship to others, and your life direction?
Well, it came during a time where I was pursuing a call into ministry, and I'd gotten to the point where, because you can fake it on the outside, and you can say and you can know the right things and the proper doctrine and how to act at church and that kind of thing, but you can still have a lot of pain and anger and bitterness going on inside you. And it just, you know, I was engaged to a beautiful young lady who's now my wife, and there were so many good things that God was lining up in my life, and yet I couldn't get rid of this anger and this weight that was tearing me down. And one night I was on my way home, driving up through a mountain town up in Northern California, drove past this community where my mom lived at the time, and I just knew the dam started to break, tears started to fall, and I just knew I needed to pull over. This is back before the days of cell phones, so I pulled over to a payphone, and I dropped a quarter in, and I called my mom, and I said, you know, Mom, I just want to be reconciled to you. I love you. I don't mean any of the horrible things I've said to you, and I just knew that if God was going to call me to ministry and to be an agent of change in other people's lives, I couldn't be carrying around this burden. I had no right to hold these things over anybody's head, much less my own mother's. And from that point forward, our relationship began to heal. I have a really strong relationship with both my parents, and it's all because of the grace of God breaking in and breaking through in small, consistent ways throughout my adult life. And I'm 40 years old now. I'm just blessed to, you know, be able to serve people, a lot of others who are find themselves stuck in similar situations, and to be able to have had that experience and to be able to empathize with where people are at and help disciple people through a process of forgiveness and bringing the grace of God into centrality in their own life is just a joy.
Yeah, well, that's such a wonderful story, because, you know, we think, you know, the grace of God kind of hits us and this light bulb goes on, and then, you know, we have this calling into ministry, going over to Africa or wherever, and, you know, these big things. And for you, it was a relationship with your mom.
And that changed
everything. And how wonderful that is. And I think that is such a great story and good insight for our listeners, because, you know, there's important things that are happening just real close to you that God wants to work on. And maybe it's a relationship with a sibling or with a parent or with a fellow worker or one of your friends. God wants to do some powerful work there, and you will see the power of God's love and grace in those situations that are so close that will soon blossom into other things. And that's certainly your story. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Our special guest today is Jeremy White, the lead pastor at Valley Church in Vacaville, California, also the author of The Gospel Uncut. And Jeremy, you wrote that a number of years ago, and that's just basically your story, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it contains a couple chapters. I talk through some of the stuff in more detail that I just introduced, but it's actually it's 12 chapters, and it really talks through, you know, a little bit of my own journey, but also I think what's common to many of us who go through a transformation of the grace of God in our lives, and we begin to see things once we understand the new covenant and this incredible finished work of Christ. It really makes the scriptures come alive. So I tackle a lot of scriptural texts in the book. We talk about some of the teachings of Jesus prior to the cross and what those teachings were meant to tell us in looking forward to the cross. And I talk about things related to spiritual warfare, have a chapter on the prodigal son, which, you know, should probably be more aptly titled the Fantastic Father, because that's really what the story's about.
But, yes, it is.
Anyway, just, yeah, I think it's an encouraging book. Thankfully, God has, you know, used it and got a number of great reviews online by Amazon readers and others. And I love to interact with people. I've gotten emails and, you know, Facebook messages from all over the world of people telling me that God has used it to open their eyes and change their hearts. So if that happens for one person, you know, it's worth the writing of the book.
Yes,
sure.
Indeed. Well, and some of our listeners may be interested, and so we have your book available through our website, basicgospel.net. There's a link to it right on the homepage, I think. You
right
can click that,
well,
and that will take you to the Amazon page, and you can purchase it there. And we certainly encourage you to do so. As much reading as you can do on the grace of God and what the grace of God means to us in an individual way and how it transforms us. I think that's the reading that we need to do. So listeners out there, if you're interested in Jeremy's book, The Gospel Uncut, go to our website, basicgospel.net. Just click the link and you will find all the information there. Well, you're a pastor now, a pastor of a growing church out in Vacaville, California. For our listeners in KDIA and KFIA, if you're looking for a church, we would certainly encourage you to check out Valley Church there in Vacaville. But as a pastor, Jeremy, what is your biggest challenge?
Oh, gosh. Well, that would be a hard one to narrow down. But I think one of the things that we're always working toward here by the grace of God is to help people understand that, there are two major categories of flesh, and one is rebellious flesh. We know that. It's pretty obvious. It's probably what pastors like me get asked to spend 95% of their efforts, you know, confronting are people's rebellious flesh. You know, when someone commits adultery, that's rebellious flesh. Or when someone, you know, cheats somebody out of something or says unkind things, those are demonstrations of rebellious flesh. I think the challenge is to get people to see the deadly consequences of religious flesh, because religious flesh often earns kudos on the outward appearance of things and pats on the back and can really create an insidious legalism in people's lives that can bind them up just as much, if not more so, than rebellious flesh. You know, like I said, rebellious flesh is pretty obvious. You point it out, and you work with people to understand who they are in Christ and to begin to live out of their identity in Christ so that their behavior changes over time. But with religious flesh, it's more insidious. I think probably one of the big challenges is just continuing to run that course and fight that fight and win that race of making sure that people understand that the rebellious side of the flesh is not the only side to be aware of, and that religion, just like in the parable of the prodigal son, so there's the younger son who was trapped in rebellious flesh, but there was the older son trapped in religious flesh, and he was in the father's house, and yet he was equally as lost as his younger brother.
Yeah, totally. Well, and sometimes it's hard for religious flesh to actually come to the point and see its need for Christ. A person that's religious and thinks they're doing everything good on the outside, they don't really see their need for Christ on the inside, but their need is just as great as somebody else's. I remember we did a conference a number of years ago, Jeremy, and we had folks from all over the country in, and one of the ladies that was there, her past was quite a story, and she was a stripper on the Barbary Coast up in San Francisco and just lived a very rebellious life. And then there was a missionary that was there. He had spent most of his time growing up, you know, on the mission field with his parents. And then when he became of age, he became a missionary. And the first girl he ever kissed was his wife. And the first time he ever kissed her was after they said, "I do." And boy, what a contrast between those two people. But I sat there and listened as they told their stories. And I said, you know, it took the grace of God, the same power to raise that girl to life as it did to raise that guy to life. There's no difference.
Absolutely.
Both were dead. Both yep. were in sin. Both needed life, and only Christ could do that. And sometimes it's just really difficult for, you know, the goody two shoes to see their real need for the grace of God.
Well, absolutely. And I so resonate, and I'm drawn to the way Jesus, and I know so many of your listeners are as well, you know, we're just drawn to the way Jesus loved people and how it's so interesting that oftentimes the people who were least attracted to Jesus are the kinds of people we find loving church today, and the kinds that were most attracted to Jesus are the kinds that were most cautious or even repulsed by, you know, standard evangelical church today. And we just want to be a church. My prayer for Valley, my prayer for my own life personally, is that we want to be a church. I want to be a person, regardless of whether I wear the title pastor or not. I want to be a, we want to be a church that welcomes people who are typically repulsed by church. We want to be a hospital for sinners and not a museum for saints, is what we like to, is how we like to put it.
Well, and, I like yeah, that. Yes, that's good. Yes. That's it. That's really good. Well, let me ask this. This is going to be a pretty loaded question as well, okay. Jeremy. And you know, there's many churches that talk about the grace of God. I mean, that you have to talk about the grace of God.
Sure.
You know, if you're a Christian church, but how does grace become the heart and soul of a local assembly of believers? How does it move out of the talking stage and really into the hearts and souls of the people and the group at large? How have you seen that happen there at Valley?
Well, I want to say, you know, I have the blessing of being the second pastor in the history of this church. And so our founding pastor is still on staff with me. We have a great relationship. I love him and respect his ministry so much, and we've talked deeply about these things, and he's just been so humble now, a man in his 60s, he's humble and has come to me and said, you know, when you first began to bring this message in, when you became the lead pastor here, I was, you know, he says, I was a little bit not resistant to grace, because we've always been a grace-oriented church, but just a little bit kind of couldn't figure out exactly where you were going, and he said to me, on a couple of different occasions, said, you know, thank you so much for sticking with it and for just continuing to keep the new covenant front and center. And this idea of, you know, what Hudson Taylor and others called our exchanged life with Christ, because that has really, the clarity of that focus has really helped so many other things in terms of our discipleship efforts and everything else come into greater clarity and greater focus and greater fruitfulness. So I would say, you know, that number one, I was blessed to have a very open church anyway to this message to begin with. But even then, when the deeper you move into it, the more you see that, yeah, there are going to be some people who get almost flat out angry at the fact that you're just so bent on telling them how much Jesus loves them. And
isn't that
funny? I've never been so persecuted in my life as I have been over trying to convince people of the radicality of God's grace for them. And yet the vast majority of folks have embraced this message and have gotten excited about it. We've had Andrew Farley come out a few times to do some things. We're looking forward to having Basic Gospel come out next spring. And you know, but you just got to stay with it. I think you just can't give up. You just have to stay with it. Stay humble, but stay bold in preaching this new covenant message, and not just preaching it, but living it.
Well, Jeremy, I think that's those are such wise words, because it's easy to be knocked off of that path, and certainly Satan throws out all sorts of things. You know, you're just boring people. They've heard it a million times. Why do you think
right.
they need to hear it again? And yet there's something deep within the Spirit, you know, compelling you just to keep moving down that pathway. Well, Jeremy, we certainly appreciate you joining with us today. You
yes.
mentioned that Basic Gospel is going to be out at Valley Church in the spring next year. I think we've targeted a date of March 7th, but we're
yeah.
still working out those details for all of our listeners out there. Just put that down as a tickler date, a save the date thing, and we'll have more details of that. For anyone interested in visiting Jeremy's church, Valley Church, the website is valleychurch.com. That's valleychurch.com. If you're interested in purchasing Jeremy's book, The Gospel Uncut, you can do so right here at basicgospel.net. Jeremy, thanks for being with us today, my friend.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, thank you guys so much. What a blessing. And like I said, I just hope your listeners are encouraged to stick with it. Jesus is always far better than our minds can conceive. So once you think you've got him figured out, he's going to blow your mind with even better.
He's full of surprises, isn't he?
Thanks,
isn't
Jeremy.
Yeah, he is.
Yes, indeed. Well, once again, our guest on today's broadcast has been Jeremy White, lead pastor of Valley Church in Vacaville, California, and author of The Gospel Uncut, Learning to Rest in the Grace of God. And you'll find a link to Jeremy's book, as Bob said, on our website at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, we're out of time for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.